Welcome to Running, KAKM and KSKA's candidate forum for the 2008 primary election, hosted by Michael Carey.
Welcome back. Thank you very much. We're now going to turn to the U.S. House of Representatives, Alaska's lone congressperson. And we have, first of all, the Democrats. They are Ethan Berkowitz and Diane Benson. And we'll start with opening statements, and we'll start with Ms. Benson.
Thank you, Mike. Hi, my name is Diane Benson. Sometimes events happen in our lives that send us on a path we might not have imagined. I never grew up dreaming of being a politician. But 5.5 months after my son was critically injured in the war, I filed to run against the incumbent, who had not visited our wounded at Walter Reed Army Medical. I am running to fight for people who are tired of career politicians who don't understand how their policy decisions affect the lives of the average person. No Alaskan should be going hungry. No school should be closing. And certainly no community should run out of fuel. Not in a resource-rich state like ours. We have the wealth, the resources, the opportunity, and I will fight to expand those opportunities for all Alaskans and to protect our rights as American citizens. I'm ready to represent the people of Alaska. Please learn more about me at bensonforcongress.com. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ethan Berkowitz.
Thanks very much, Michael. It's a pleasure to be back on Running. You know, I'm running for Congress because I believe in what this country stands for, and I think it means something special to call Alaska home. I'm proud of the 10 years I served in the state legislature, 8 as a Democratic leader, and I'm thrilled that my wife and I are getting the chance to raise our 2 kids here in Alaska. And for those of you who spent your first day in school today, thanks, and good luck getting through the rest of the year. This campaign is about the direction the state is going to take and the direction the country is going to take. It's not just about where we've been, it's about where we're going. And I think we have incredible opportunities right now. We have opportunities to solve the energy crisis. We have opportunities to develop a healthcare solution that works for all Americans and all Alaskans. We have the chance to develop an educational system that will prepare our students to succeed in the 21st century. I'm looking forward to being your next congressman because I believe in our potential. And I believe that if we do things right, we can have a better future than we have today.
Thank you, Mr. Berkowitz. We'll now turn to the candidates' round of questioning. They will question one another. Ethan Berkowitz has the first question for Ms. Benson.
Thank you. You know, Diane, when our campaign first began, you and I had the chance to sit down, and we had a very meaningful conversation. I really appreciated that. You told me about how your son got injured and what happened afterwards. And I've admired your courage in this campaign, and I've admired the fact that you've been able to bring veterans' issues to the fore. And I'm hoping that you'll take advantage of the time we have to explain why you think veterans' issues are so important and what you think should happen in Congress to help veterans.
Well, thank you so much for that question. First and foremost, on behalf of veterans, what must happen is assured funding for the Veterans Administration. It needs to be mandatory. One of the problems that we're seeing is a loss of security clearance for those who are addressing their PTSD issues and their TBI. We need to have better monitoring of the system. In addition, we are not properly addressing the PTSD and traumatic brain injury problems that many of our troops are facing. In addition, redeployment is taking such a toll on our troops, and that is probably the number one area I think that needs to be addressed. And that's a difficult one, I think, from a congressional point of view, most certainly. But there are numerous issues facing veterans and their families, and we have to include families when we're talking about our veterans.
Mr. Berkowitz, 45 seconds for a comment/rebuttal.
Thanks very much. I appreciate all those, and I think those are all right. There's a lot of things we need to do. We need to make sure that no Alaska veteran has to travel out of state when he can get health care in state. We need to take down those problems. We need to make sure that we have a GI Bill that treats the troops who are serving today as well as we treated troops who were returning from World War II in Korea. It was a great opportunity for this country. And I think we have to put an end to this stop-loss program. It's a form of continuing to make our soldiers and sailors and airmen and Marines fight that we should have gotten rid of a long time ago. I'm proud of the fact that when I served in the state legislature, I helped the National Guardsmen who were deployed to combat zones get life insurance. That's one of the ways we can make sure that Alaskans who are serving abroad have the assurance that their families are being protected. But making sure that veterans are well cared for is something that they've earned and something I'll be able to fight for in Washington, D.C.
Diane Benson, you have 15 seconds for a response.
I think it's far more effective to already know the issues from the ground up, and that's something I do. I've worked on resolutions in difficult committees on some of these very things. As a matter of fact, stop loss is very personal to me. I know firsthand because my son was stop loss before he was redeployed, and I know the issues of veterans on a very personal level and certainly have the passion to address them and know the people who are involved from the top to the bottom to do so.
Thank you very much. And now, Diane Benson, you have an opportunity to question Mr. Berkowitz.
Ethan, I pride myself on being a candidate of the people and for the people, and that is why I don't accept contributions from lobbyists who often contribute to politicians who they know will put corporate interests before those of the public. Now, nearly a week ago, I asked you to return your lobbyist contributions, but you've refused. So I'll ask you once again in the name of public integrity, will you return the contributions that you've received from lobbyists in this campaign?
Mr. Berkowitz, I had a typo on my script here. You have a minute for your response here.
Thanks very much. You know, Diane, there are many paths to ethical behavior, and you've chosen a path that suits you, and I appreciate it. I appreciate the fact that you've made ethics at the fore of your campaign. I've also made ethics at the fore of my campaign. There are a lot of ways we can assure the public that influence of money is minimized, and all people have to do is look at my record. I'm a guy who stood up to corporate influence time and again when I was in the state legislature. I fought against reducing the benefits given to lobbyists when I was in Juneau. I will fight against it when I was in Washington, D.C. People might remember that I was the one who stood up on the House floor during the oil and gas tax debate and argued that it was wrong for lobbyists to attempt to influence legislation that was trying to occur. Because when you take the oath of office, you swear to serve the public, and that's your highest obligation. And corrupting influences can come not just from money. They can also come from over-reliance on a single supporter or a single group. That's why it's really important to always remember that when you serve the public, it's the public's interest that you have to be beholden to.
Diane Benson.
Basically, what you're saying then is that you're doing it legally, and even though I find it unethical to accept it at this time, I mean, it's kind of like deja vu all over again to, as Yogi Berra would say, to be sitting here hearing the same excuses that were given a couple years ago by our incumbents. I mean, clean government begins with clean campaigns. I think if we don't set the boundaries in the campaigns, then we've opened up the door for when we get to Congress. I think we are compromising ourselves. How can we have honest discussions about issues if we've got dollar bills hanging over our heads?
Mr. Berkowitz.
As I've said, there are a lot of different ways to behave ethically. I have a track record. I've stood up to powerful interests. People should never expect that when you make a campaign contribution, any politician is going to be beholden on it, to it. I think that we need to restore the integrity to the public process. It's something I fought for during my entire time in public service when I was in Juneau. It's something I'm going to fight for in Washington, D.C.
Okay, thank you. And now it'll be my turn to ask a question. We'll start with Diane Benson. High oil prices are good for Alaska, but bad for the nation. How do you balance those conflicting needs?
High oil prices and
they're good for Alaska. They bring us a lot of money, but bad for the economy all over the United States.
How do you resolve that? Need to focus on Alaska and what Alaska's needs are. And Alaska's needs, we need to diversify our energy resources and make sure that Alaskans are benefiting from their own resources. Make sure that we experience not only the profits but access to our own resources. Alaska has the perfect opportunity right now and is the perfect place geographically to develop our renewables. And I'm talking about wind, biomass, and geothermal. We already have those things in place in Alaska. All we need to do is expand on them. And when I'm serving in Congress, that's exactly what I'll do. We reduce emissions, we make homes more energy efficient, and we can move forward. That's the avenue we need to go. I mean, we have oil development in many places. We need to get our gas line in most assuredly. And I'm with Wally Hickel on that. I'm all about making sure that Alaskans benefit from their own resources, and that's a first step.
Okay. Thank you very much. Mr. Berkowitz, same question for you. High oil prices are good for Alaska, but bad for the national economy. How do you reconcile a conflict?
Actually, I think it's a mixed blessing for Alaska. because the state coffers are benefiting, but Alaskans pay the highest rate for fuel of any state in the union, and that's a big problem. I talked to friends in the Mat-Su, they're paying more than $500 a month commuting in. You look at villages that are paying in excess of $1 per kilowatt hour. Fairbanks declared an energy emergency. Juneau, when their power lines went down, saw their prices quintuple. So the fact that oil prices are high isn't good for the average Alaskan. It might help the state coffers. And so what we need to do is make that transition so that the state coffers are used to benefit the individual Alaskans. And there's a lot of steps we should take. We need to change the price structure of energy in the state. We ought to make sure that communities have the assistance that's needed so we can engage in bulk fuel purchases. The state ought to use its surplus to pay down utility debts. We ought to engage in more production of energy, whether it's oil from the North Slope or gas from a gas line, either coming off the North Slope or Nenana Basin. There's geothermal prospects. There's wind prospects. We have a lot of things we have the capacity to do.
Okay, I have time for a second question, I'm informed. We'll start with Mr. Berkowitz this time. what would you say to, as a member of Congress, if another member from another state came up to you and said, you know, you got $36 billion in the permanent fund up there. Why don't you start spending it on some of those vital needs you're always telling me about instead of asking me for money?
I'd say that Alaska's permanent fund is one of the geniuses of this state. We had the foresight to take some of our non-renewable wealth and turn it into something that was renewable. And that's what I would tell them. And I'd also point out that at the statehood compact, the deal was when we came into this union, we would be allowed to develop our resources for Alaska's benefit. And currently, more than two-thirds of Alaska is federal land. And under those circumstances, the federal government has an ongoing obligation to help pay for developing the state. I'd also point out that even though we're celebrating our 50th anniversary this year, we are a young state, not a Don Young state, but a young state. And we're going to make sure that as the state matures, we're going to have the infrastructure that's necessary. So that's what I tell people who challenge our right to get our fair share of federal funds. Because we had the foresight to set up a permanent fund doesn't mean that anyone anywhere else has any access to it.
Okay. Ms. Benson, how would you respond to that same question?
Well, when we're talking about federal funds, we're not just, there are certain things that Alaska receives through federal funds that aren't addressed by the state. And they usually have to do with people and people's needs, and also with infrastructure. And I think Alaska deserves its fair share as any other state. It's not unreasonable to work towards those things. I think part of the question really revolves around earmarks and the question of earmarks. And earmarks themselves are not the problem. You know, it's the abuse of earmarks that I think has brought these kinds of questions on Alaska and that would cause them to ask these sorts of questions. The reality is, you know, I mean, Ethan is right. What we have been able to create here in the state of Alaska is wonderful, and what those who wrote the Constitution were able to put into place. But we have to go forward now as a state. We have to work together, Democrats and Republicans, to build a state that actually works for Alaskans, and I believe I can do that.
Let's go to closing statements. We'll start with Mr. Berkowitz.
Thank you very much. You know, I would love to have more of an occasion to discuss some of the issues that Alaska faces today. I'd like to talk more about energy in particular, because energy is the defining issue of our times. And I think there's great challenges the state faces, but great opportunities. I envision a future where we do have a natural gas pipeline. I see a time where we're getting more oil down from the North Slope and from our region so we can help America become more energy secure. I'd like to see us engage in a full-fledged effort to develop our renewable prospects. 80 villages could take wind in a way that would be meaningful and at a cost of $150 million, and the payback time just in offset diesel is less than 3 years. We've got more geothermal than the rest of the country put together. We've got 90% of America's tidal potential. And so under those circumstances, it's clear to me that Alaska is America's energy state. I want to be the person who goes to Washington, D.C., spreads that word. I have the ability to do that. I have the will to do it. And we have the opportunity in Alaska to help make America a better country.
Dan Benson.
Thank you. Many people move to Alaska to redefine themselves and start anew. It is time for Alaska to redefine itself and for us to start anew by developing our resources on our terms, making sure that Alaskans benefit from Alaska's resources and renewable energy. By pulling together as Alaskans, we will strengthen our voice, take care of each other, and create a better quality of life for every individual. By setting the boundaries on campaign funds, we can end corruption in government. Clean government begins with clean campaigns. I am proud to be a lifelong Alaskan, a part of its history from the beginning of with the pipeline and fishing to promoting Alaskans in the film industry. I grew up with Alaska, graduating from the university to social and political involvement, always seeking to better our community, our state, our nation, making it a better place, a freer place. I'm Diane Benson, and this campaign really is about trust, ethics, and accountability. Thank you so much, and please visit my website, bensonforcongress.com.